First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Kind of started in here last week. We'll finish up and move forward. But Paul says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. Who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of the person which is in him? Nobody comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So just, keeping in mind the power and the awesomeness of the Holy Spirit here, that, without the Holy Spirit, just kind of wrapping up from last week, we really can't imagine everything that God wants to do for us or has planned for us. There is just so much that I think we miss out on just because we don't really ask. We don't really believe that he will do all that he would like to do for us. And so, our goal is to pray, as much as we can for as many things as we can, and then listen to God to speak. And it's, I think we talked a little bit last week about this process, how that we pray and then we pause and we listen. And we have that time where we just meditate or we just allow God to, or the Holy Spirit to impress upon us things. And we know we're probably not going to hear voices, and if you are, you might want to go get that checked out. But, you'll have thoughts or have things come to your mind, and then pray for those things. And then, again, we pause, we stop, we listen again. So it's really a cycle. And we can't be rushed in our time of prayer. Now, and I know throughout the day, John mentions a lot, praying when he gets to work each day. And that's, those are things that I hope all of you are incorporating and you're learning from his example. When you get to work, pray and ask God to bless the day, bless your efforts there in the office, or, as you're dealing with patients or students, whatever it is that you're doing for an occupation. And then obviously throughout the day, we have moments where we are praying and we're asking God for wisdom and guidance. But when you are in your quiet time and you are setting time aside specifically just to, pray and hear from God, don't rush through that. I know, Drew, I think you mentioned a few weeks ago about having a prayer list, and sometimes it just gets to be so rote and, pray for this and pray for that, pray for the other, pray. And we just kind of go through that. And, even within that realm, pray for those things and then pause and just wait for God to bring something else to your mind, or another situation, another thought, another name, or something else to pray for them about. And I think often with the prayer list, we get too rushed. I know that's my temptation. I have a prayer list and it's, pray for Lauren, pray for Daniel, pray for, Jeremiah, pray for Heather, pray for Lacey. And, and we just kind of, we're just checking the box and running through all those things, as opposed to really just taking the time to, mention the name or mention a situation and then give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to, impress upon us something more specific to really bring and to pray about, and then we just continue that process, through that, and until we have a sense of this resolution or a peace that, okay, I just can't, nothing else is coming to my mind to pray about, nothing else is there for me to mention. And you kind of get this assurance or a peace that, okay, things I'm kind of done for now. It's okay to say amen and move on. So it's just this process. It's working through it. It's, and it's going to be slightly different maybe every day or for each of us. It's not just a cookie cutter thing. thing that is identical for every person. You know, so it's you trying to work through it and figuring out, you know, what does God have for you, or how is the Holy Spirit working in you for that? So we are believing by faith, you know, the direction that the Holy Spirit's guiding us and leading us in for our prayers. And we understand that, you know, if we miss something or if we misunderstand something, then you know what? God is great enough and the Holy Spirit's powerful enough that He's going to correct us. And He's going to know that's not what, you know, not what it was. You know, this is where it is. So He's going to guide us. He's going to open the doors for us and lead us if we are open to Him and ready for Him to bring that guidance and direction in our lives. So then in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think I read a little bit ahead earlier, but it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but of the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." So a couple questions here make you think a little bit this morning. What is the spirit of this world? It's not really a trick question, but so don't read more into it than maybe it is there. So it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." All right, so what's Paul?
Only self.
All right, self.
What's the spirit of the flesh?
The spirit of the flesh. Okay, yeah, it's all those things that set themselves up, whether it's ourself, the, what did you say, Greg, say it again?
I don't remember.
Millie does.
No. I was thinking about
self. Okay, you said self. What did you say?
Of the flesh.
Oh, the things of the flesh. Okay, so self, flesh. You know, it's just the world's wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the things the world tells us that we have to have, that we need to have. The guidance of the world, the, you know, just all the non-godly spiritual influence that the world gives. So Paul says, we don't have to live by that. You know, those that don't have the Holy Spirit, those that are in the world, that's all they have, isn't it? You know, when they make decisions or when they're going through life, all they can do is, you know, go by the philosophy or the, you know, books that they're reading from, you know, unsaved authors and trying to go, okay, you know, rearing children, you know, all the books on that and how to do it and, you know, how to have a happy marriage and relationship. And, you know, they're just reading the world's information, trying to follow that and make things work because they have nothing else to follow. But Paul says we do. So what are the things that are freely given to us by God that Paul is referring to? Because it's interesting. He says we don't have the spirit of the world. We have the Spirit who is from God. So that's the Holy Spirit. But then he says that we might understand the things freely given us by God. All right, he's given us his word. And it, yes, and it is complete. All right, his forgiveness.
Grace and truth.
Grace and truth.
Hope.
Good.
Faith.
Love. Yes. Salvation. Yeah. You know, there's so many things that I think too often we take for granted. You know, if we've been saved any length of time, we just kind of take those things for granted. And we forget what it was like before we got saved. And if you got saved when you were really young like me, you really, you know, it's just, you know, you just grow up in it and it's just all, that's the way it's always been. And so it's really difficult to even imagine what life would be differently. I mean, I know there's pros and cons and all that, but I know, like, in my dad's life, he got saved in his 30s, late 30s. You know, but, you know, for him, there was such a stark difference, you know, such a contrast in his life You know, and he could literally, you know, before I got saved, this was my desire and this is what I wanted. You know, and now that I'm saved, everything's 180 degrees different. You know, and everything's just, I see things differently. I think differently. You know, and that's this whole idea of it's not the spirit of the world, but it's the spirit of truth that's now guiding me and directing me. And so we have so many things that God gives to us freely, and it's the Spirit that is there to help us understand them. Verse 13, it says, "We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." All right, so can an unsaved person understand the words of God without the Spirit? No. You know, they're spiritually dead. You know, they can't understand it until the Spirit opens their eyes, opens their hearts, and gives them that understanding, gives them that faith, that grace, that again are given to them freely by God. So these things that are given to us. And then, you know, in order to interpret a spiritual truth, you have to have your spirit has to have been renewed already to actually even be able to understand and receive that spiritual truth. So as we persist in prayer, you know, we don't stop until we hear from God. You know, we just, you know, whether it's day after day after day or throughout the day, you know, we're just going to keep pestering God with our request until we hear from Him. You know, and there might be ideas or pictures come to our mind, words come to mind, passages of scripture come to mind, you know, something that you've heard in a sermon or a podcast or a Sunday school lesson, or, you know, something that maybe your mom and dad said to you years and years and years ago, or a Sunday school teacher. You know, just the Holy Spirit has access to all of that, you know, all of the things in your mind. And He'll bring that to your remembrance. And then as He does, you know, He's going to bring that to you in such a way that it, in essence, it forms a pattern, and, you know, it's going to reveal to you God's answer to your prayer. Now, does that happen with every prayer we pray? No. Sometimes sometimes it's going to be, you know, we don't get a definite answer. And I think that's one of the things that we struggle with a lot. Is, you know, I prayed, and, you know, I don't see an answer. But does that mean there isn't an answer? Obviously, no. You know, and we might, you know, God might have answered it in a way that we just don't even see or imagine. We just have to continue by faith that He is in control, that He is, we say, sovereign, that He is still working, and that He is going to continue to bring about what's good for us and in our lives. And so we trust Him, and we just get up each day and do what we know we ought to be doing. Trust Him, spend time in His Word, in prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, and, you know, continue through each day. Looked at this, two, three weeks ago, Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, "But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings." You know, and we emphasized that a couple weeks ago, that even as we pray, you know, sometimes we don't really know what to pray for or how to pray about something. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't know, you know, if it's, you know, God, is it your will to heal this person, or is it your will for them to go home to be with you? You know, we could look on both sides of that. You know, what does Paul say? You know, right. You know, Paul's like, you know, he said, "I'd much rather go home to be with God, but it's more expedient for me to stay here with you." You know, because if I'm in heaven with God, that's good for me. But I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to be a blessing to you. I'm not here to help you. So, you know, he was really torn, you know, because he's like, And there's some days, I don't know about you, there's some days I'm just like, you know, I just want to go home and be with God. But I understand then at that point, okay, and at almost, it's almost selfish, because then it's just, well, you know, I want out of, you know, problems and issues, right? Right, whatever I'm facing, I just, you know, it's just, I want to get out of that, so, you know, I can just go home and, you know, I'm all done, I'm good. But, you know, that doesn't help those that are left behind. You know, so it is that constant battle. You know, and God, what, you know, how would you want this resolved? And so we have to work through that. You know, it's interesting, again, the Holy Spirit, you know, isn't taking our prayers to Christ, who then takes them to the Father. You know, He is petitioning directly to the Father on our behalf. And as we pray, you know, He knows our hearts. You know, so we might say the wrong thing and not really verbalize it correctly. But is the Holy Spirit, is He powerful enough to really know what your heart is? And okay, I think all of us as parents do that. Sometimes our children say things and you're going, I know they really didn't mean that, you know, because we know their heart. You know, we know really what their desire is, and they just didn't say it properly. You know, and the Holy Spirit's no different. He knows our heart, and so He's going to take, you know, our heart's desire to the Father. And I would even say that sometimes if our heart's desire is not quite where it ought to be, He can even go to the Father and say, you know, this is really what their heart's desire ought to be. You know, and so change their heart so that they are on track with You. So that they are where they ought to be. And so He's interceding for us at such a deeper level than I think we understand or what we comprehend. And then He's going to reveal to us in ways that we can understand, you know, the Father's will. And sometimes we can't really express that. Sometimes we can't really say, you know, I think sometimes we just, and you all have mentioned this in weeks past, but, you know, just a peace that comes over you, or a feeling that, you know what, things are going to be okay. And that's from God. You know, we need to understand that is from the Holy Spirit. You know, that He is doing that work in us. And that is a means in which He is answering our prayer and doing something for us. You know, so this peace, this fact that, you know, our prayer has been heard, God is responding to us, that God is compassionate, God is loving, God is going to show us His grace and mercy. Any questions or comments on that? All right. So, you know, the Holy Spirit sees beyond our understanding. His answer is on the basis of our need and on God's plan. And then it's always in keeping with the will of the Father for us. I think I go. Sometimes we feel impressed to pray for people who are far away. Sometimes we just, you know, can't get a person's name off our mind. You know, we pray for them, and then later that day, it's like, man, I just, you know, you just think about them all day long. And hopefully at that point, you'll text them or shoot them a message or something. Just say, hey, man, you've been on my mind, on my heart all day today. You know, trust all, everything's well, or, you know, been praying for you today. You know, trust things are good. And just open that door for them, you know, to respond. But pray for them. All right. So this is what I wanted to. Next week, we'll talk about this. If the Father knows all that's needed and He knows what His plan is, what is the purpose in praying? All right. So I'll give you a week to think about that. And
2 weeks.
Two weeks if we go to Church at the Lake next week. So hopefully you all sign up and we'll go to Church at the Lake. So yes, 2 weeks from now. We give you 2 weeks to prepare for this one. And don't give the easy answer of, you know, because He tells me to, all right, or He commands it. All right, I know that's the easy answer. But other than that, what more is there? Greg, would you pray for us this morning?